No special? You guys are just getting where you're singing again. I'm going to have to start calling numbers again. Open your Bibles, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, I want to jump up to the last two verses of chapter 3, then read the first few verses of chapter 4. Beginning in verse number 23, in chapter 3 of 1 John, it says, "And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us." Now note that, the Spirit which He has given us. And that Spirit is capitalized, it's the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, and Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse number 9, "If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His." In other words, the way that we know and testify the fact that we are saved is because of the Holy Spirit that He has given us. The Bible tells us in verse 14 of chapter 8 of Romans that the Spirit of God leads us. Also, the Bible says that it enables us to cry, "Abba, Father." In other words, it gives us a relationship with God that we can cry, "Abba, Father." And then verse 16, it goes on, it tells us that His Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. So first of all this morning, before I go any further, just let me ask you this to ponder on. Do you have the Holy Ghost of God living within you? And we'll talk about that a little more here in a moment. He said, "Beloved," in chapter 4 and verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God." Now let me say this. There's a whole lot of people attributing things to the Holy Spirit today that's not of the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, it's important to understand that you try the spirits. You better know in whom you have believed.
Yeah. Amen.
And you better be persuaded of what He has said. You say, how do we know? The Word of God. And that's why it's important that you get the Word of God and you study it, so that you can rightfully divide the word of truth. Don't be misled. Do not be deceived. We'll talk about that in a moment. But notice here, he said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Yes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would just be with us. Speak through us. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, as we look and we get into the Word of God. Help us see a truth that will be a help to us in the last days in which we live. And Lord, the latter times that you've written about, we pray that you would just open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds. We ask these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Now let me say this. Those of us who are saved, we are not home yet, children. Our home is heaven. Once we become saved and we are given the Holy Spirit of God, we began to feel a separation from this world. The world is not the same as it was before we got saved. We see the world as the enemy of God. Used to be a real defining separation between the world and, and the church. But anymore in these last days, you can't tell a difference. There's not a separation. But the Bible teaches us that there should be a separation.
Amen.
Come out from among them. There ought to be something different about us, and this world is not our home. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. The Bible says the world is an enemy of God. And so therefore, the Bible says whosoever is a friend of the world is enmity with God, or is the enemy of God. Now, let me say this. When we talk about spiritual things, a lot of times people say, well, I know, I just don't get the spiritual things. But you have to understand, everything around us, there are spiritual warfares going on all around us. The spiritual warfare started way back when Lucifer lost his position in heaven. He was the anointed cherub. You find it written about in the Bible in Isaiah chapter 14. You also find it written about in Ezekiel chapter 28. The Bible says that the one that was in Eden there, that tempted Eve, when he was made as a shining star, he was perfect. He was beautiful. He had voice that had pipes and tabrets. We talked about that the other day. And we also talked about that the only place that the angels ever sing in the Bible is in Job chapter 38, verse 7, at the creation of the world. Nowhere after that do you ever find angels singing again. When Lucifer was cast out of heaven, he brought a third. He was so influential among the other angels, a third of the angels came out with him. We find that in Revelation chapter 12. The first few verses of chapter 12, we'll find verses 4 through 6, that a third of the stars came with Lucifer. We have, the Bible describes him as the god of this age, the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air. He lives and he dwells among us in heavenly places above us. A third of the angels in Hebrews describes the number of angels in heaven as innumerable. You can't count them. So if you can't count the number of angels in heaven, a third of those angels came down here and is working with Satan. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that Satan is a real person. Well, you better believe it. Jesus did. He met him in the wilderness. Now, the difference between the devil and when the devil fell, the Bible says he was full of wisdom when he was made. He still has a lot of wisdom. He still has a lot of craftiness. But the difference between him and God is this. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. Satan and his demons are just where they can be at one time. Not only that, but he's all-knowing. Satan is limited in his knowledge. Not only that, he's all-powerful. God is. Satan is limited in his power. That's why here John reminds us that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now remember, he's talking about this Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God that's in you. The Bible teaches us that when we are saved, we are born again of the Spirit. Our body becomes a temple of the Holy Ghost. The Bible teaches us that His Spirit teaches us and guides us and leads us and convicts us. It does all those things. But not only is the Holy Spirit present, but also all these evil spirits are present. Therefore, John knew what he was talking about, because when he walked on the earth during the time of Jesus, there was an escalation of demon activity when Jesus was on the earth. That's why everywhere you turn Jesus turning to, he was casting out demons. Why was he doing that? Because people were possessed. The activity of Satan and his angels to prevent Jesus from doing what he came to do was magnificent during that time. And people was full and being possessed. But the Bible tells us that not only was demon activity at a height during that time, but as the time gets closer to Jesus' coming, the activity is going to rise up again. You're going to see more of an interest in psychics. You're going to see more of the cult. You're going to see more people turning to palm reading and psychic hotlines. And you're going to see all this other stuff where people's looking for men to predict futures. Every time you find magic, every time you find a cult, every time you find all those things mentioned in the Bible, it's always represented with evil. No Christian has no business ever pursuing anything in any of those lines. The Bible always teaches us to stay away. Now, let me say this. Now, notice here just a moment. The Bible says that we are to believe not every spirit. Now, when Jesus came, he went and he fought the devil, and he won because of the Word of God. He was able to take the Word of God and everything that the devil threw at him in the wilderness, he defeated him by the Word of God. The Word of God is our weapon. The Bible calls it the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 2, or 6, verse 12, that we have something to battle with when we are facing Satan. In other words, he gives us the Spirit of truth. I think it's in verse 17 that he calls it the sword of the Word. And so therefore, what we have is when we fight against Satan and these spirits all around us, we fight with the Word of God. Now, let me say this, and some people get upset, but it's okay. Not only are spirits, evil spirits found in all this occult business and all around us, but also we find evil spirits coming right into the church. Now notice here that he tells us, if you look in verse number 1, he tells us the reason why that we are to try the spirits, because every spirit is not of God. Then he tells us a reason why, because what? What does it say, verse 1, last part? Many false prophets have gone out. Every time that Jesus sent the apostles out, the devil would send false prophets out. Every time a revival happens, here comes a whole slew of all these false prophets rising up. Now, let me say something. This is where people's going to get upset some. But what we have now is we have the Word of God. The Word of God is our weapon. The Holy Spirit of God uses the Word of God. We were saved by the Holy Spirit of God, bringing the Word of God and making it alive to us. We were drawn to believe upon the Word of God. That's how we are saved. That's why we are believers. The Bible teaches us that there was a transition time between the Old Testament and the New Testament where Jesus came and he foreordained certain apostles. The apostles had gifts. And by the way, the guy writing this to us here, inspired by the Holy Spirit, was an apostle. He was John. He was the last living of the apostles. He knew what he was talking about because when he was down here, not only did he see Jesus cast out devils, he himself cast out devils. He had to fight all these evil spirits that was present during his time. He knew a little bit about what he's talking about. And so what John was trying to get across to us is that there are false prophets that comes. And our only reliability is the Word of God. We are to take the Word of God. We are to try the spirits. Now listen to me. What God has done, and during this age, we see a lot of movements. We see a lot of this charismatic stuff on TV all the time. Listen, when they're claiming to get new revelations, then the Word of God, you better stay away from it. When they're claiming all these other, somebody says, well, we're looking for signs and miracles and all that. Listen, you better beware. There was a time when God used signs and wonders, and he ordained certain men to be able to do that. They were able to heal the sick. They were able to raise the dead. They were able to cast out demons. They were able to do all those things. And listen, but that was for a given time period. That was until the Word of God was completed. But until the Word of God was completed, they did it, and people would believe that they were who they said they were. But after that time, we no longer believe because of sight,
And what we see, we believe because of faith in the Word of God. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Right. We no longer need signs and miracles. Somebody said, well, I'm looking for signs and miracles. Can I tell you the next one that's going to come and do signs and miracles? The Bible, John describes the Spirit here. He said it's a spirit of Antichrist. He says not only is it going to come, he predicted it was going to come, even in his day, he said it's already here. Now the spirit of Antichrist, you've got to understand. Let me go back, and I don't know why God led me here this morning, but I'm just going to go with it. But the spirit of Antichrist, you've got to, and any of you who have been around church very long, you understand who the Antichrist is. The Antichrist is someone that's going to come. He's going to come, and if you understand Scripture, he's going to come back from the dead. Not only that, but he's going to have power. He's going to be able to perform miracles. He's going to be able to do all those things. So listen, just because something seems supernatural doesn't mean it's always of God. And all this supernatural stuff that everybody's looking for in their worship service, you better be careful. Not every spirit is of God. We judge the spirits whether they are of God or not. So anyway, what I'm trying to get across to you is this. The Bible tells us that this Antichrist, he gives them all kinds of names. Just a little, the horn, the beast, the son of prediction. He gives them all kinds of man of sin. We got all kinds of names. To understand the Antichrist that's going to come, the Bible calls him the beast because he will have a mark. And during the time in which he reigns, the Bible says everybody who buys and sells something will have to have the mark of the beast. And you've heard of that. But not getting into all that, but let me say this. The devil always imitates. He imitates God. The devil is not a creator. He's an imitator. What he's seen of God, he wants for himself. He can't have, but he does his best. The Bible says that we have three of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son. God the Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God the Son came down and he took upon him a body like man. He became Jesus incarnated. Amen. Jesus Christ in the flesh. And that's what the Bible is talking about here. John says anybody who doesn't believe that is got the spirit of Antichrist. Because there were a lot of people teaching that Jesus was not the Son of God. He was not truly God. He did not come and become a man. And he was not God-man. And they were teaching that he was only man. And so therefore, Jesus can't save you as man. But he can save you as the God-man. He can save you as a son of God that came down. And he lived perfect without sin. And went to the cross of Calvary and made a sacrifice that you and I might be saved.
Amen.
But now look here. You have God the Father, God the Son, and then God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit during the time that we live, it does this. It is what teaches us of Jesus. It takes the Word, it reveals to us the truth, and therefore it bids us to come and believe upon what the Word of God. Therefore, it's by the foolishness of preaching, it pleases God to save those which believe. And they believe because the Spirit of God comes, and no man come Father except he draw them. They're being drawn by the Holy Spirit. Then once they believe and they come to Christ, the moment that they are believe upon Christ, we talked about this the other night, they are saved. They are born again of the Spirit. The flesh can't born you again. You can improve your flesh, but it's just improved flesh. The only thing that makes you spiritual is a spirit. And until you're born of the Spirit, you can't be called a spiritual. Your spirit's not made alive. The flesh can, I don't care how many works you do, I don't care how good you try to be, I don't care how many times you come to church, you cannot make your flesh in a level that God receives you. You are still going to fall short of the glory of God. Your sin's still going to be as filthy rags. Only the Spirit can born a spirit. Now look here, I'm trying to get to a point, and so he borns you again. Not only borns you again, the Bible says that your body becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit. Not only that, he says that you are sealed until the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, he tells us that in Ephesians. Now, it's important to understand that, because if you don't understand it, when you are sealed until the day of redemption, that means you have protection. The Bible says there is a seed in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. There is a seed inside of you, if you've been saved, that cannot sin. It's protected. And that's your spirit that's been made alive when you got born again. Now look here. The day of redemption is when you get your redeemed body. That means the moment you got saved, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, and the devil can't get you. You got that? That's why the Bible says in verse 4 there, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Holy Spirit is greater than the devil. And therefore the devil can't get you because you have the Holy Spirit. And you're protected by the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus gave a parable one time about a strong man. He said if someone's going to take over the house, a stronger man has to come into that house. Well, when you got God in your house, who's stronger than God? The devil can't come in there and take him away from you. Somebody said, oh, I'm afraid what the devil will do. Listen, if you're saved, you don't have to be afraid what the devil's going to do your soul. Your soul is secured by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, get here, but stay with me a minute. Just as there's a Trinity of God, the devil knows nothing but also to have his own Trinity. Therefore, in the end time, we find every time the devil was make a movement in this world, God sends a revival. But in the end time, the Bible says there's going to come a time in 2 Thessalonians, instead of sending a revival, he's going to send a rapture. The rapture is the catching away of the saints. You see, the only thing keeps the wicked spirits from overtaking everything is the Holy Spirit. And he is the one that restrains the spirit of Satan and the wickedness from going on. But he's going to go out. When the church goes out, the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Holy Spirit's going to go out. And so he's going to go with us. And then wickedness is going to just flood upon the face of the earth. Now this is when this Antichrist comes to power. Now you got to remember, there's going to be a trinity of evil. Satan, the father of wickedness. The Antichrist, the son of prediction, the son of hell. And the false prophet. He's going to be a mimic like the Holy Spirit. The false prophet going to build an image of the beast and have everybody worship him. He's going to call fire down from heaven. He's going to do these miracles and so forth and try to convince and deceive people. Now, 16 times in the New Testament, the word deceived is used. And that every time it has to do with Satan deceiving people. Now, I said all this to say this and get back here. Satan, he's an imitator. And what he does is, He imitates what he sees of God. And so he's going to imitate the Godhead. And for a period of time, they're going to do, and they're going to come on the face of the earth, and all these things are going to happen. I'm not going to get into all that. But if you get in chapter 19 and 20 of Revelation, the beast, the false prophet, and Satan, all three, is going to be cast in the lake of fire to be tortured and burnt forever and ever and ever. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, again, let's get back to this scripture. John says you need to be careful. These evil spirits. And so what the devil does is this. Now listen to me very carefully. He can't bother the wheat. The wheat is secured by the Spirit of God. But what he does is he puts tares all in the midst of the wheat. Tares are something that looks just like wheat on the outside. But if you eat them, they're poisonous. Jesus gave a parable, and he said, why the servant slept, the enemy, the devil, came in and sowed tares. And he sows tares everywhere. And so what we need to understand is this, that he comes in and he sows tares by deceiving the word by people in the Word of God. And he sends false prophets. And they begin to teach false doctrines. And the gist of the doctrine is this. What do you think of Christ?
What have you done with Christ? Whether you go to heaven or whether you don't, or you go to hell, will depend upon what you have done with Christ. What have you done with Christ? Who is He? Who do you think Jesus is? There's a lot of people who has all these ideas about Jesus, but you need to understand He is God. He's the Son of God. He came and He became man, and He walked upon this earth just as we. Well, He was tempted in all points, such as we, yet without sin, and He went to the cross of Calvary, and He went to die to make a way that we might be saved. He was the sacrifice that was acceptable to God. None of us could do it, only Jesus could do it. And so therefore, whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is going to be the secret. Now get this a minute, I'm going to close. If you look in verse 6, He separates and He puts it. He said, the difference then is a spirit of truth versus a spirit of error. The error that's being taught is all these things about Jesus that's not true. And you see, what we've done in the last time is this. God moved upon the heart of a king to make the Word of God possible to all English-speaking people. And He authorized to have a translation. At that time, He got 54 scholars that done nothing but live, eat, drink, and breathe the Greek, Arabic, and Hebrew language. He separated them in groups. They took the Word of God, they translated. And they would compare with each other to make sure. And came out with a King James Bible. And the King James Bible then was given and it allowed English-speaking people to be able to read. Have you ever noticed something about this Bible? The words are alive. Do you ever notice how the Holy Spirit takes it? You need to be very careful. The devil can't create the Word of God, but what he does is he'll take and try to imitate another one that takes away from Jesus. It attacks his blood. It attacks his position. It attacks his power. Somebody said, well, I get all this new English stuff. It's so much easier to read. Just because it's easier to read doesn't make it truth. You better understand that we're not to believe every spirit, but we're to weigh them out very carefully. And we need to understand that we need to judge our position. We need to judge who and what we are by the Word of God. Amen. Let me ask you this morning, and I'm going to close, but let me ask you this. Do you have the Spirit of God? Have you been born again? Amen. Does He witness within you? Have you felt Him spread the love of God in your heart? As Romans 5:5 says, when you're born again, He'll spread the word love of God. The Bible, Jesus said, that's how you can tell My disciples they love one another. You show me somebody's full of hate and claiming to be saved, that's contrary to what the Scripture teaches. Anyone who's saved ought to have a supernatural love. And look here. I love Martin. I'm under no pretense that Martin is a perfect person. But he loves me, and I'm not either. And we love each other because we have this agape love. Agape love is the love that only God gives. And we have this agape love with us. And it makes us not only love each other, but makes us even... Jesus told him in Matthew chapter 5, says, when it comes, you'll even love your enemies. You'll have ways of loving people that don't even give you no love back. Because this type of love doesn't look for love back. It just wants to extend love. Because what it does is it realizes that God extended His love to us. Therefore, we extend God's love to others through us. Do you have the Holy Spirit of God? Are you one of His? You say, well, preacher, I hope so. I look like them. I act like them. That's not good enough. The devil's got imitators all in the churches. He sowed tares, you better be a wheat. You say, how do I know I'm wheat? When you're born again in the Spirit. Do you have the Holy Spirit of God? If you are, you're one of His. If you are, you're none of His. Does it witness with your spirit that you are a child of God? You say, preacher, I don't have it. I need to be saved. If the Spirit of God is convicting your heart this morning, you need to step out and come. He said, those that come unto me, I will no wise cast out. But you've got to come. Would you come this morning? As we stand, get a song. And let me say this, why Brother Porter's coming. If you are saved, you have every means within you to fight off whatever issues that comes your way in this world. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We have the power within us. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but He's given us a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. How about this morning? Would you come?